Blog Talk Radio.
Productions, who sponsors Black Urban America, and also Provocateur Dort by Carlton Sneed, hosted by Carlton Sneed, comes on Saturday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. I want to thank you for the support that you've been showing for Provocateur Dort, a lot of listeners, downloaders, and what have you. I'd like to thank everyone for the love and support that you show for We Talk Productions. And our website is almost finished. It will be ready sometime in April. We just got to do, you know, agree on some designs and what have you. Hey, you know, I watched so much news since Donald Trump became president. I watched news as much as I watch ESPN. And I am an avid ESPN watcher. Donald Trump strikes again. He fired another person. But this was kind of cold because this gentleman, this ex-general, a general, he was a deputy director for the FBI. The attorney general had him fired 2 days prior to his retirement. And he came to get his retirement money, which is equal like $300,000 to $500,000, somewhere in that neighborhood. I wonder who's going to be fired next week. I wonder. Maybe Donald Trump himself get fired. Who knows? But he is having some problems on Pennsylvania Avenue. But, you know, that's how come African-Americans in this country have to wake up. We have to wake up and become independent. And I just want to cover one more thing. There had been another school shooting in Maryland. I mean, I really don't know what's going on with these kids. I know the society is more advanced. And sometimes everyone is not developed or mature to handle some of the issues, even in high school. I just can't put my finger on it. And you cannot blame a whole community. I mean, mental health, you know, someone with mental health issues. You can't blame that. You know, there's some underlying factors here why children are picking up guns. Now, children always picked up guns for years, but now it's becoming an epidemic. But that's not what we're talking about this evening. This evening, I have a guest from Jersey, my home state, where I was born and raised until I became a New Yorker. But now they say that it's the New York City metropolitan area, which includes New Jersey and stuff. So, you know, I've been trying, a lot of my shows is about financial issues, about starting your own business, because I am a believer that the only ways, two ways that our people can make more progress, especially in today's time, is through financial gains, through having our own economics. It go back to Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, Elijah Muhammad, Booker T. Washington. You know, we have to have our own. So I invite tonight's guest. Her name is Miss Joanne Jones, who have her own. She's an entrepreneur that have her own business and everything. Good evening, Miss Jones. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'd like to thank you for coming on the show and everything to share with our guests and listeners and downloaders about the importance and the benefits of having your own business and what have you, and financial freedom. And why did you? Can you explain to us what your own business entails?
Well, thank you, first of all, for inviting me. And I'd just like to say that I really appreciate what you're doing for the community, bringing us more awareness of all things that impact us in this country and globally.
Thank
you. As for me, you're welcome. As for me with business, I always say I'm a work in progress, and I have always desired to be able to be independent, to be able to call my own shots, to come and go as I please. And I came up very, very, in a very strict environment with a strong work ethic. You always work sometimes two or three jobs, but at the end of the day, what did you really have to show for that? And I'm not even talking about just economically, but also what did you have in progress of making the community better, the lives of those you love and count better, you do on one level. So that's why I started to think about some of the great people in the world, not just Americans, but that have started with little more than courage. And that was how it was for me. And I'm a work in progress. I'm slow going with my business because what I think is real important is not just to have a business where you can just create another job for yourself. And I think I'm quoting someone else when I speak that, but also something that will employ others and get them to think, you know, like the Madam C.J. Walkers and that time, Black Wall Street. All of that stuff is new, and I think this is an excellent time for us to re-embrace that. We've tried everything else. We've assimilated. I'm not putting that down because I have a lot of college degrees and a lot of work experience and military time, and those things are all well and good, but we want to uplift the whole people so we can call our own shots. We have the talent, the brilliance, the culture, the history. We just have to just keep plugging together, and it's not always a solo act. We're a communal people. And I say we are talking about, obviously, you know, Black and brown people in the diaspora throughout the world. We're global. And that's that village that we need to to have. And if you try to do it any other way, you may have it as a singular success. But overall, we have to change that mindset that we all can be successful. So that's what drives me every day, to keep growing and looking and striving and supporting and learning all that I can.
Ms. Jones, you said that it brings independence, you be your own person. Let's say I'm sitting at home listening to this podcast, or I just downloaded the show. I hear you say that. What is needed for a person to begin his or her own or become an entrepreneur?
Well, speaking just for myself, is that first step, listening. You took that first step, and then you find out what you enjoy, you know, what you have a talent for and an interest to, because people will pay you for it. You might think it's something, oh, nobody's going to pay me to shape their eyebrows or whatever, but someone will pay for that if we learn how to market. And then that's the communication start. When the student is ready, another quote, the teacher appears. So once you fertilize that mindset, this is something I really want to do, it's a dream, then you get all the particulars that it may not be instantaneous, because I think we're socialized to think success is something overnight. And if it's not, you're not wealthy. And there's a lot of that going on today, because there is this vibration of, you know, with network marketing and different things, all the technology that's exploding. But still in all, it's a process. So you have to find out what you really want. What is your goal? Why do you want to do it? Even if it's a you myself, because I don't want to get up early in the morning and go to work. It's a start, but what would you be doing with that time or the alternative? So a lot of soul searching, and then you could do research. You know, we have the blessing of technology with computers and the internet, social media, of course, all the hard, tried and true things that have gone on in the past, bookstores, libraries, conferences. There's just a plethora of information. And then start to communicate that, even if it's with our own group. And when you start doing that, then you'll start really seeing, is it worth it for you if you're shot down? Oh, that won't work. My friend did that. It's too hard. You're too old. You're too young. All various excuses. So you have to toughen yourself up to be an entrepreneur. You know, and I think we all are entrepreneurs. We're noble and going to our jobs every day. We're doing that for a purpose and a goal, but we can take it a step further where we can be in the driving seat and determine all the particulars of it, anything that you're passionate about or even curious about, you know, and then streamline it and get people in your camp. Get that that circle. Even if it's one or two people that you can talk to about your dreams and theirs too, and get good advice. That's a good start.
Wow, that's a great start. And also, yeah. Believe in the process and belief in oneself. I'm going to ask you this. You know, do you advocate? Now, let me share this with you. 73% of African Americans, according to DOZ.com, 73% of African Americans embrace doing business with other cultures, with other ethnic groups, instead of African Americans. Are you an avid supporter that we do business with everyone, or should we focus on doing business with ourselves? So the money can stay in the community. The money can stay with us. What's your perception about that?
Well, it's twofold. Yes, we do embrace. I know for myself, I'm always looking for other Black African-American businesses. And sometimes we don't have them, so we go to the other cultures. And a real litmus test is, if we have a business, would they embrace us? And that's the real question we have to ask ourselves. But the alternative
good
is
question.
To learn
good
other
question.
Ways.
What do you think? Yeah. Do you think that if it's not a restaurant, I mean, they might come eat our barbecue and stuff like that. But if it's anything else, do you think white companies or white entrepreneurs will do business with black entrepreneurs?
If they think, well, they're always looking at the bottom line. That's a cultural thing for survival for them. If they don't succeed, everything is one shot with them, not just entrepreneurs with everything. And we know this from life and experience. Maybe we should look at that sometimes when it comes to business. But it depends if they don't see us as competitors, because usually we find in history, in American history and business, those of us that have done business with them have lost the business or sold the business. And then the identity bonds that's happened with radio stations and theaters and all the time, cooking ideals and stuff. And because they're aggressive in takeover. So they're,
like what I'm doing now, having a program that focus on African-American lifestyle, African-American issues. And I saw back in the early 90s that those radio stations were decreasing to the point there aren't any. Like WWRL, WNJR, you know, Sunday mornings with WBLS. Now they just do gospel music. I mean, there's none. There aren't any. You know, that's how I really got to know Bob Law, who used to run Night Talk on WWRL at midnight and try to get all that information. He's been preaching pro-black businesses for years, for 40 years. Yeah, and that's the reason why I have this platform, so I could get other people to discuss solutions. Because we basically all know the causes, X equal Y, but know the solutions. What are we going to do about it? How can we attack this? And there's so many different issues that people like to, I mean, from health issues to community issues to education to business, political, you know. So that's the reason why I have this. And my white podcasters, they get all kinds of sponsors. And hopefully, I hope the black business community will embrace me by sponsoring this. These shows and everything, because we're going to grow, going to add more shows, what have you. But it's difficult. Do you think it's difficult doing business with black folks or having business and products and services for black?
It shouldn't be, but it is, because a lot of that is entrenched with the treatment we've had in this country and the quick solution of going to, you know, I'm thinking for my business degree, substitute products, substitute avenues or ways and means of doing things. And we don't always want to take the bother. A lot of times we're thrown off by the price of something. So why is it so expensive? Yet we wouldn't probably ask that same question if we were in a Caucasian environment. We would think, we have to step up to that. So it's a lot of that is our mindset of how we perceive each other. If we do business, let's say you and I are buddies and I open a business and I'm purporting myself as a business, you may not be involved with it, but you still see me in that same role. Sometimes we have that tendency. That's the challenges I've had in my past. Well, that's just Joanne, you know. How could you know this when this person did this and that? Aren't you the person that did this? Didn't we go to school together? So we can't see ourselves. We have to relearn to see ourselves as the brilliant people that we are. But as long as there's substitutes and we've got comfortable in that, you know, they serve their purposes. But as long as we're comfortable with that, we won't see that need that everything helps us to grow. You know, every little thing that we can do. And that's hard for us to realize that. I'll take the nail industry. You know, I think we are, as a people, are so creative. Not to put down the Asian cultures that do this, they captured the moment. They could have a little shack up there, not speak English, again, not a put down, and make $250,000 for a couple of years. And I was telling this to some of my associates, yet we used to do our own nail because places wouldn't take us. And we have that artistic bent. We could put the culture in it. I talked to my loctician about this. And so, you know, if you've got all this space, you know, let's, you know, go get a kid from the trade school. What do they call cosmetics? But our minds don't think that way. And so we lose all that quarter, and then somebody moves in next door. They move in our community and make a fortune. Because we have to expand our thinking and learn to trust each other. Yeah, I'm paying you a lot of money for this product. Maybe I can get it cheaper and better, but the overall good lifts us all up. That's how the Asians did it. But after World War II, and Japan especially, they knew their products were, you know, everything was made in Japan. It was a big joke. We're now a big joke, but, you know, we gave money to this country. You know, I'm just generalizing real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But they apologize.
That's exactly what happened.
Until they could get back on their feet, and then look how they dominate the industry, their business model, all the cars they import. But they apologize. They knew those products were, but they were getting out, feeding a need. And that's what we have to do, learn to trust each other for survival, for that. Because if not, we're going to be working in jobs forever. That's only going to keep us working in jobs. And generation after generation, getting harder and harder. And it's, we're not in control of that. Business is the way.
You know, how can we learn to trust each other if we continue to assimilate, to adopt the other culture ways of behavior and thinking? You were speaking earlier about culture, what type of people we are, some of our characteristic and generally. But if we continue to assimilate, don't we lose the identity and wanting to be independent?
Yeah, we may. And again, I think a lot of us are just tired. And we don't talk enough about the real issues. I'm only speaking from my experiences about doing businesses or even expanding our mindset. Not that I'm right, you know, I don't know anything, but we just stay in that little neat box because it's, you know, assimilate the dots, get smaller and smaller, and it's harder for a lot of us to continue to do that. So the first thing is communication, real talk about what we want and fantasies, not just showing off about cars and trips, because we can't keep up with the masses. You know, we have a big spending dollar in this country. We make people millionaires, but we can't compare because it goes, like you say, right out of our community to other places. We elevate them. They smile. They get a big smile on their face when they see black people because they know they're going to get money, you know. But we should feel the same way about that towards each other. So the first thing is, and I'm a girl, so I'm thinking we have to communicate and talk real issues, not talk at each other and superficial. And I'm, again, only my experiences, but just talk to each other about what our dreams are, because life is, do we really want our children, the next generation, to go through all the struggles, like you said, of getting sponsors and getting businesses done? Well, we could change that paradigm somewhat by communicating and saying it's us or nothing. And every other culture thinks that way, but us. We become just complacent, and you know, the whole slavery issue, it was beaten into us, and yada, 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 but we're still stronger than that because, one, we're still here, and that brilliance is always peeking out, but we just have to give it back to ourselves, but love ourselves enough that we can get it all back together, and that's everybody in the community, the young, the old, the gifted, everybody can do something to elevate. That's that African village mentality. And we've gotten a bit away from that. We want to live in the white neighborhood because they told us that was better. They're going to Europe, do all that stuff that they're doing. And we can never be them. You know, we got to be ourselves. They want to be us. You know, they want to be us without all the, you know, the hardship. And that's exactly what we're doing. So if we value who we are, even at the smallest, lowest level, learn to forgive each other for things and misunderstand. We hold grudges. You know, I've been victimized by that myself and probably have done it to others. I have no saying. So we have to start talking to each other because we're all we've got. I don't care how much, and I'm not talking about racism. We need to love ourselves, and anything can flourish. Our businesses, our communities, education, all that's part of it, us taking care of ourselves.
But, Joanne, check this out. Newsflash, Joanne. Pretty soon we're not going to have any communities because of gentrification. There's no more Harlem. There's no more Bed-Stuy.
Atlantic City.
Jersey City, forget about it. Right in your neck of the woods. You know, no more Bushwick. You know, pretty soon they going to keep on pushing us outward and outward and outward. And I think that personally, you know, if like you said earlier, you know, if you can't do it by yourself, we are collective communicable people anyway. So how come two or three guys could come together, two or three individuals could come together and buy property in the neighborhood to prevent gentrification?
Yeah.
How come to like those three doctors about in the late 90s or early 2000s, from three doctors from Newark, New Jersey? They went off to school, got their medical degree, and now, you know, they got a nice clinic in Newark serving the community. I mean, that is a great paradigm for us, a great model, and we need to do more and more. And I think that we really have to put, I mean, again, I'm just expanding on what you said, you know, to give my little thought. We have to put ourselves first. We really have to become like the city Jews. One time I was working for, going off on this story, I was working at this business. Owned by a city Jew. The glasses was made by a Jewish company. It was a wine factory. The trucks were Jewish owned. The management were Jewish. The boxes were made by a Jewish company. And I saw that, and the first thing I said, ain't nothing leaving this community. Not one red cent. The only thing that leaving in this community are the taxes. That's it. And here we are. We spend $1.2 trillion a year as consumer, and none of that. None of that comes back. None of that comes back.
It's all gone. That's why they smile when they see us, and then at the same time they despise us because we aren't striving to do that thing. We look at things like those, you mentioned the three doctors. Like when I see something, because we had have a lot of gentrification here, and it breaks my heart because, and I know you can live anywhere in the world, but I know how hard it was for my father, who's passed on, to get the house that he did in Atlantic City. And to just have it be going away. Now the whole area that we grew up in is all Caucasian. The beach, we had it had tears to my eye, and I'm the only person left our family. But I looked at that. I said, why couldn't we buy a bed and breakfast? Here we are, right at the shore. I know people, we're all making six figures. Why aren't we thinking that way? Well, we see a lot. We just see a lot. They see a business. They see everything else. And so our vision, because we're not talking to each other and we're in that same little box just to be that consumer, you know, because that instant gratification and saying, oh, look at my fancy car and my trip, that only lasts for a minute because they make cars every year. We could be making cars and have dealerships and stuff. We have to support each other, and we have to do it first. And not everybody can do everything. That's why we're so diverse, not just our complexions, but we're diverse because we all have different types of brilliance. And when we talk to each other, like you said, the Jews that do it, the Asians do it, the Latinos do it. I mean, they are here doing all kinds of phenomenal things. Like I said, where are we? A little spot here in this community, a little bit there, and really nothing. And I love my people. But we need to love ourselves. We really do, and get over. We got a lot of things to get over. We can blame the Caucasian and all that stuff, and that's the root of it.
I'm going to stop doing that. I used to do that. I don't blame them no more. They're only doing what they're supposed to do. Look out for themselves.
Exactly.
I blame ourselves.
We have to do the same thing.
I blame me. That's who I blame. I blame us. You know, we had the wrong goals. All right.
Yeah.
We try to see, you know, we try the political process. You know, when you're fighting against an oppressor, you try everything. A lot of our leaders say, no, we need to go down this road, or we need to take this journey, what have you.
Yeah.
And we get caught up, and then we have people that go to the other side and stay without coming back, you know. Or look at black colleges. Black colleges are just struggling. It should be struggling. We got millionaires that come from them schools now. We should be able to buy property. Look at Atlantic City Boardwalk. I bet you ain't no more than 5 businesses that are owned by black folks.
That's right. If that.
It's miles of, if it was my memory, it's the boardwalk is long. Well, the hotels.
Yes, it's all being gentrified. And I imagine, like you said, it's everywhere that we go.
Yeah, but see, the reason why it's gentrified, Joanne, the reason why it's gentrified and everything is because, first of all, we didn't protect it.
Right.
Two, we just tear it down, you know, leaving bad buildings, lots. You know, look at Newark. Jersey City is justified now. You know, now they're kicking blacks.
Sure.
Blacks got to live in Elizabeth, Linden. Mm-hmm. But they came before the rent. But see, look how we took care of our communities. We really did take care of our communities. You know, some black communities we took care of, but most we didn't. Look at our school system. You said,
Look who's teaching our children. And as she said, I can remember back in the day, my father, he had such pride. He was from North Carolina. He was an old school man, old school. And he had such pride in his home. And so did all the other, and we raised all the kids, had fathers in the home. And we cared about our pride. We lived in row homes. And people would come in when cable first came in, and they would, mouths would be hanging open, how beautiful our homes were, how nice the neighborhoods were. But they can't have that because greed was, and they have to get the casinos. You got to go here. This is no good. And then when that didn't work, they just take the property. But my father had nothing to leave his kids because gentrification. This is better. So it's really kind of a lot of forces against us. But once we work together to say, like you said, and I think there are some movements that are out there where we are trying to buy property or hold on to our neighborhoods to see the value of it. And I hope that those things are going to work because we need it everywhere. Because it's going to just keep happening until it, you know, it stops. So until we do something, like you said, we have to do it. We have to take control. We are capable. We have the brilliance, the mind, the talent, not just these obvious talents of acting and sports and stuff like that, or even making money, but we have it all. We are a communal people. And which makes us unique is that when we are together, we rise so rapidly, thinking about what happened in Black Wall Street, how we were there, and how that just destroyed them. So they had to kill all of us, you know. They had to kill all of those people because that's a catch on, you know.
Well, I think America I think America right now is beginning to get tired of giving us these assistance programs and whatnot. And we better hurry up and start doing these things in the communities where we are or where our people are located, you know, entrepreneur training programs. You know, the government don't have to do that. We have to do that. And I do agree with my Black Republican friends. They're probably going to listen to this show, and they're probably all going to faint. I agree with my Black Republican friends where we have to stop relying on the government, and we got to address the issues ourselves, the gang violence and what have you, and the single-parent homes. Again, I'll have been against single parent homes and what have you. Some of our brightest folks come from single parent homes, but it's easier with two parents. It's easier, you know. And fathers, black fathers got to start taking more responsibility. And I know the legal system is designed for us. I know it. I'm not gonna put a past them. I know it is set up for us to take the black men out of the community. So all I'm saying is that we had to stop relying. And I know America is brave for us not to be so dependent on them. And I don't blame them. We like a cousin that always got our hand out for a dollar. We got to start creating the dollar for ourselves.
Yeah, and we're only getting fragments with that. The government gets more with corporate welfare and banks and pharmaceuticals and foreign entities than we could ever get. Again, just having that awareness that we're really not getting ahead. You're not getting anything by that. So why be dependent on it?
But, Joanne, I don't blame them for that. It's theirs. It's a part of their culture. Ford, GMC.
I hear you. Yeah.
IBM, GE, McDonald's. It's there. It's theirs. It's their invention.
That's
it
true.
Came out of their brain. I mean, we worked in there. We slaved in there. You know, we danced to the music for them and whatnot. But now it's time to break off and get our own GE, get our own McDonald's, get our own, like you said, have our own, and that might be a long ways away, but at least we got to start the process. And, you know, on election night, 2 years ago, election night, you know, I said with my panel, I had a little panel on the show, right? Called, my show was on Tuesday night, and election night was on Tuesday night. And boy, my panel jumped all over me. I said, I'm glad President Trump won. But they let me finish. The reason why I'm glad is because maybe, just maybe, we'll start getting our stuff together and start looking at ourselves. Because if Hillary would have won, it would have been the same old dance,
same old status quo,
the same old tune. Now, shot value, now y'all know we got an enemy in the way.
They're showing what they truly are. No holes barred. Where with the other candidate, it was just, like you said, the same old okey-doke, and then we would have been so attached to the disappointment because no prize. But anyway, But I think, like you said, the same thing. It's a hard lesson. And some people, that's the only way you can learn, because we stay in a state of illusion, you know, of sleepiness, thinking that's it. So this person, this rascal, it's like people have
woke us up. So I mean, even got the millionaire football players want to fight.
Everybody,
even got the millionaire basketball player, the NBA, want to get, you know? I said, this is what needed. This is what needed. I said, you know what? I hope Donald Trump, matter of fact, he's getting money now for his next guest. I hope he wins next time. But I don't think his kind likes him very much.
Yeah, but really, you know what? Let's hope.
I don't think he's kind. They talk about him like a dog behind his back. They call him an idiot. They call him a moron.
It's all by design. You know, it's all by design. He's a street thug kind of guy. That's kind of, I kind of work with people like that. So it's no hard, but hard spine, like you said, for our good, because I think the blinders are all. You really see how loathsome, how ruthless that we just talk about in the corner and stuff. Now it's right here, and people are reactionary, and a lot of people are getting bold and coming out and saying that would never say anything before. So we are growing in this.
I remember me and this guy had a long discussion where Obama was president, and he said racism is over as we know it. I said, are you out your mind? I mean, I never criticize anyone for their thoughts. I never be critical of anyone of their belief system. I work with Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Muslims, Christians, Buddhists, Yoruba. I work with them all. As long as you say that the goal is helping our people. I don't care. Just leave your religious and political system at the door, because a lot of people get crazy over that. Well,
they sure did.
And the racist, but that one, there's no more racism as we know it. I said, it's worst off than ever. And don't you know the next day a kid was shot. Couple minutes left, Joanne. Is there anything you'd like to say to the community before I sign off?
Well, I just want to say again, I appreciate what you're doing. This is so interesting. It's elevated me to another level to be more socially aware, to keep the nose to the grindstone, to communicate all the things you've talked about. I want to share and emulate in my community to grow, because we are indeed a global village of people, and we could start at our own levels and our own communities to make that effective change. And I'm going to invite you back too, Joanne.
All right?
All right. All right.
Okay, you have a nice evening. Well, that's it, folks. Another week. Bye-bye. That's another week. I keep telling you, I know I sound like a broken record when I talk about we got to be financially independent, economically independent. How you think things going to get done in our community if we don't take control of our finances? Come on, people. It's time to wake up. Like I always sign out, I am because we are because I am.
Hold it now!